Blog Talk Radio.
Indie Author Roundtable is a talk radio show where we discuss the nuances of indie publishing, whether it be a specific author and their books, current events affecting the author community, or just a general discussion about publishing as a whole. We want to shine an intense light on everything important to authors today. Join us on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for a half hour of lively conversation. We look forward to hearing from you. Welcome to Indie Authors Roundtable. I'm your host, R.L. Jackson, author of the Crashing series available on Amazon and editor-in-chief of Indie Authors Monthly. I'm also the host of Navigating Indie World radio show. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Carol P. Roman, author of over 50 children's books and the host of Navigating Indie World with RL. And also, let's say hello to our neighbors. I'm also the creative director of Indie Authors Monthly magazine.
Hi, I'm Anita Dickinson. I'm the author of the FBI Crime Tracker series novels, and I'm also the fiction editor and columnist with Indie Authors Monthly magazine.
Hi, I'm Jenna Green.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can go ahead and introduce yourself. I was going to do that for you.
Oh, okay. I'm Jenna Green, and I'm a young adult author of the YA fantasy series Imagine, as well as the young adult contemporary novel Heroine.
Okay.
Well, thanks for joining
I'm gonna
us
start,
today.
I'm going to start, Jenna. This is Anita, Jenna, and I'm going to start. First of all, I want to tell you, I finished reading Imagine this morning, and I'm absolutely hooked on the series. I really loved everything about this book, from the development of your characters, your plot, plus that amazing imagination to create not only an alternate universe, but one that was totally believable. So how did you come up with your genre?
It came a little bit at a time. I started with a lot of the fantasy characters that a lot of people know, elves and dwarves, but putting my own little twists on them. I actually do well with creatures and magic. It's locations I have trouble with. So I really have to work to build up the kingdoms, the castles, the villages, to try and picture that in my mind. But just everything was influenced by just tiny bits of pieces in my life. The character Kat, her name and her personality comes from two old roommates I had. And Becky is definitely a younger version of me.
Hi, this is Carol. That's really interesting that you said that you have trouble with world building, because I didn't notice it when I read the books. I thought you did a really good job. I especially love the reference to Harry Potter and Percy Jackson as the reading matter for Becky. How much of a role I'm assuming you've read them both series, how much of their series influenced you with Imagine?
Probably a lot. I have read the whole Harry Potter series and the first two or three Percy Jackson books. I'm also a language arts teacher for grade 6, so that's about, they're between 11 and 12 years old. So a lot of what they have talked to me about, what they're interested in, definitely influences me as well. In terms of world building, I do good at the overall locations and different things. It's when I'm actually just describing like a castle. I really struggle with just that one specific aspect, in that I don't live in a castle.
Well, you know, that's hard. I think that, you know, that's where traveling comes in. A lot of authors do travel and they get to see, you know, I think that's one of the perks of being an author. We, you know, we go research where we're writing. So maybe you'll get to that castle one day.
Well, I have traveled and I have seen them. My brother-in-law builds medieval armor. And so sometimes I go to him and I just ask him, because he loves history, I just ask him a few questions. I don't mind making things up, but I want to make sure that none of the architecture I come up with is going to collapse on any of my characters.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, we do use a lot of imagination when we do write, but we sort of have to base it in truth. Do you agree, Anita and RL, with that?
Oh, I would.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, Bookish Coffee Club says about Imagine, it's an incredibly important aspect of this novel. An incredibly important aspect of this novel is imagination. This was also my favorite aspect of the novel. Becky comes from a life spent in fantasy. She spent most of her time at home reading books and imagining different worlds. The seemingly mundane aspect of Becky's personality becomes incredibly important for the success of their journey. It was an awesome review. So how important was imagination in the book?
Well, obviously, the title expresses how important that is to the book. And when you get to the end, you find out that that aspect of Becky's character is vitally important. I think there's a bit of subtext in that I come from a family of all scientists. My dad is a geologist. My brother-in-law is a chemist. My sister-in-law was a chemist. Now she's an optician. They're all scientists. And that idea that I was not the black sheep, but the different sheep who lived in imaginary worlds and did things a different way really came into the story, that that's okay and that you need people in the world that are like that, that are a little off the beaten path, that march to the beat of their own harmonica, and that if you don't have the dreamers in the world, then the world is kind of dull.
Yeah, I could
agree.
Well,
I can't disagree with that.
With your science background, I'm sure that influenced the story. Did that influence your story, you know, with your family being so steeped in science? You know, when you guys talked around the dinner table, did any of that stuff make it into your book?
It'll be interesting. You know, I've never really thought of it that far. I thought of it to the point of, you know, how I identify. I did a lot of geology as a child, but I was daydreaming through most of it, so I don't think any of it really stuck. But, you know, maybe it'd be interesting one day for me to go back through Imagine or even one of the sequels and see if there's, you know, a little bit of science in there that I didn't notice that actually stuck in my head.
Mm-hmm, that'd be interesting.
Speaking of noticing things, did you notice when you picked Becky Thatcher as a name that she's the leading lady in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer as well? I mean, was there a correlation of using that Becky Thatcher's name with your main character?
I did that purposely, but not very many people catch that. I do it as like a little trivia thing sometimes when I'm connecting with my readers, but not everyone catches that. Yes, she does have a literary name on purpose to show that extra connection to books and imagination, but I didn't want to pick a really blatant name. I didn't want to name her Katniss Everdeen and everyone would be like, yeah, that's a literary name. So I did it subtly. So good job on catching that.
Thank you. Yeah, I knew as soon as I started it, I said, I know that name. I just didn't remember where. And, you know, I Googled it, and I realized who Becky Thatcher was. But I knew that the name was, it would be like to me saying Hermione Granger. You know, I knew the name, you know, but I just couldn't place it. So you have lots of Easter eggs in the novel then.
Absolutely.
I think I may have to go reread it.
Well, I know you made the reference. You might need to go back and take a look at you know, some of the scenes that you described to see if they do relate to, you know, science. I picked up on a few things. The way that you described the flow of the rivers and the underground caverns, yes, subconsciously it may have been coming through that really helped you add that level of realism that lets you actually picture what you were describing. So I think it may be there, even though you may not consciously be aware that you did do it. But I do have a question for you. From the perspective of being a, you know, not only a Canadian author, but also, you know, do you notice any difference between, you know, the indie author or the hybrid author in Canada as opposed to maybe what you might know or see in the U.S.?
I know a lot of local Canadian authors, most of them are from Calgary. I know a lot of American authors too, I don't know if we talk a whole lot about any differences. I know that even though I'm Canadian and a lot of my publishers are Canadian, we still format and things for the American audience. So I always have to check my spelling and make sure I'm using the American usage of words and things. I think the only real difference is there's slightly less competition in the indie world in Canada. There's just a little bit fewer of us, and we get really excited when we meet each other. So we connect, we network, we hug each other. We're just so excited to meet someone else that's a writer. And a lot of the promotional stuff, though, goes through the States, though. So I think we're just at a little slight disadvantage up here in the Great White North, but we do our best.
Yes, and that brings me to my question. What are the challenges of publishing? That's basically what we want to kind of roundtable talk about now, right now. Like, we have our sets of challenges as well as you guys. So what's been the biggest challenge that you faced as an author?
Oh, trying to market and get the story out to try and get it into readers' hands. I've found that once people have read my work, whether it be a novel, whether it be a short story, they like it. It's getting that into their hands and getting them awareness. It can, if you want to get your word out there, you can do it, but it can get very, very expensive. And so the ones, the avenues that are less expensive or free are really saturated. So having a publicist in the last year and a half has really helped. Trying to network more and more and more with fellow indie authors. I think I'm a hybrid because I do have publishers, but they're small presses. So a lot of the marketing I have to do on my own.
So can I ask a question
here?
I want to ask, what did the publishers pick up for you? In other words, like, an indie has to format, an indie has to, you know, get the cover, you know, they write it. What did, you've got a small publisher, what exactly did they pick up for you?
So they designed the cover for Imagine. It's by, the cover designer is Trish Fitzgerald, and she's amazing. They do the formatting, and then I work with an editor, and I do, like, the edits go back and forth, so we go through three or four rounds of editing, between me and the editor that they assign. And they do some marketing, but most of the marketing is in my hands. But luckily, the technical stuff, the formatting, the things that I'm not really good at, they take care of.
So did you send your book into them, or did they go out and solicit you after reading something of yours?
No, I submitted. So Imagine and Reality are with Champagne Books. They used to be out of High River, Alberta, but the CEO just changed, so now they're from Oregon. I have a book named Heroin that was picked up by a company in Toronto, but about 6 months after it was published, they closed their door. So that one is now self-published through Amazon. And then I just got picked up by a new publisher, Foundation Books, and I can't wait to start a relationship with them. They're going to release a new young adult series. So I'm a little bit of everything.
You know, that's really interesting.
Wow.
That you've gone with the small presses. Anita, how do you feel about going with a small press over, published, like self-publishing? You're self-published, right, Anita?
I am. Yeah, I am. I'm fortunate that I can do most of everything myself other than the editing. I do, you know, farm that out just simply to get a second eye. But I think that's the hybrid is a very real advantage for a lot of authors that are in the same position as Jenna. You know, you have the formatting and then some of the technical aspects of it that a lot of authors aren't familiar with. So I think it does offer a very real advantage to kind of hit that balance of full indie versus, you know, a little bit on the other side of the fence as well. So I think it's a good idea.
I do too.
I think
too.
It would
RL,
be a good
would
fit
you,
for a lot of them.
Yeah, RL, would you go hybrid if you had the opportunity, or would you stay indie? What's your feeling?
Just, you know, based on what you said, Jenna, with the whole marketing and how that could get expensive, that alone is enough that I think I would want to to do that and would encourage authors to look at maybe going hybrid or even starting with the small press first if they don't have that knowledge beforehand. Because there are tons of great books out there that aren't published because they don't know how, or they didn't have any guidance, or they just don't have the money to actually market the correct way. So I think that's a authors right now.
I think, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask Jenna, how much control do you actually have over what happens with your book? For instance, do they own the ISBN, or is that something that you own? Just how much control do you have with where the book is being published, what the price of it is, that type of thing?
They set all that. They set the price. They changed, I don't know how to describe it, the texture of the cover. And I didn't have any real knowledge about that, and they changed the sizing. So I don't have a whole lot of say in that. Luckily, the covers are brilliant because I give input, but then, you know, the artist comes up with something. The advantage of a really small press, though, is that they have the time to talk to you and listen to you, and I can email them if I have a concern or if I have something that I want to pursue. For example, I was like the characters of the Brownies, Alana and Petey, even though they're not main characters and they only pop up every once in a while, they're my favorite characters. So I had an idea to do a picture book with them. And so they were like, that sounds like a great idea. And they hooked me up with another author that's an illustrator, and we're going to pursue that. And I don't think you could do that with a larger publishing house. But then, of course, with the one I have self-published, I have all the rights and all the say. And when you're looking at promotional things, a lot of blog tours and podcasts and stuff, they want to advertise if a book is free or on discount, and I don't have control of that with the books that are published with a small press. That I can't just go to my publisher and say I want a discount 100 copies. So there's advantages and disadvantages on both sides.
You know, that's funny because Michael, my son, is published with a small publisher also. And he's indie published. And, you know, pretty much I have carte blanche to do whatever I want with his indie work, but I can't lower the price on the thing that's with, you know, on the books that are with his. It really, you don't realize how you kind of get spoiled as an indie doing whatever you want. But
giving away copies or giving away advance. Yeah, like there's a limit on how many I can give away.
Even entering contests, right? Do they let you enter any contests?
Yes, but I have to do it like as a giveaway, and I have to purchase the book. I can't, so I'd have to reread my contract again, but there's a limited amount of advanced reading copies and things that I can give away.
Right. Unless you pay for them. I paid for a number of them myself because I do a huge mailing. But if the book gets entered in any contest, you know, like if you want to win an award, do they enter them, or do you have to pay for those fees?
They've done some. Obviously, they're a small press and they have dozens of authors. They entered Reality in a cover design contest, and it came in second.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, I didn't draw it, but it's gorgeous. So I praise those covers up and down every day because they're amazing. And so they do some of that, but a lot of it I would have to do and I would have to pursue, and there's usually entry fees for contests and things like that. So the money can really add up.
Don't we know that?
Yeah, definitely. So let me ask Jenna, what are you working on next?
So I just finished a short story about on a pirate ship for an anthology. And I'm waiting for edits for two different books. So imagine the first in this YA fantasy series, Reality, is the sequel. And the third out of the four total books is at the editor right now. So I'm just waiting on some feedback for her to go through that. And then the book that is in a new series and a new world, is Reborn, and it's going to be released in the fall as well, and I'm just waiting for edits on that. So I'm just kind of plugging away at a few minor projects while I wait for the influx of notes to come in, and then I will hunker down in my office with my tiara on my head and get editing.
You wanted to ask a question, Anita?
I'm curious. Yeah, go ahead,
I'm
Anita.
Sorry. Go ahead, Carol. Well, I took a look at your website, Jenna, and it's gorgeous as well. Did the small press, did they assist you in setting up that website, or is that all your design as well? Because I noticed that it really does track well with the covers on your book. It really is gorgeous.
When I signed on with Champagne, they wanted to make sure I had a social media presence, and I did. I have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. I did not have a website, but I did an interview with Cassandra Pentecost from A Novel Connection, and I stayed in touch with her. And so I've got a lot of connections through her. I've done some short stories for anthologies for her, and she actually designed the website. They have wonderful prices, so she did all that. As a teacher and a mom of a two-year-old, I barely have enough time to write. I'm a good editor. I don't like it, but I'm a good editor. But it's all those extra stuff. I really have to just find people that can do it for me.
That's really smart. You mentioned that you have a publicist. Is the publicist you've hired on your own, or did you? The publicist came with the publisher?
No, he's separate. I met a man named Gary at it's called Word on the Street, a little novel convention, and he introduced me to Mickey, and he picked me up as a client. So he's the one that things start to, so the more you get to know writers and the more you get to know people, things start to snowball. So Gary set me up with Mickey. Mickey got me the interview with Cassandra. Cassandra built my website. And so I'm just finding that the more I get myself out there and just meeting people, it's really helping, maybe not that day, but in the long run, it really does.
Mm-hmm. Mickey's awesome. We work with him with the magazine as well, and he's just been great. You mentioned meeting him at a signing event. Do you have any upcoming events that you want to tell people about?
I have a signing in Lethbridge at Big John's Books. On August 18th, so it's a Saturday. And then When Words Collide, that's that big writing conference that we have up here in Calgary. And I'll be speaking on a few panels, and I'll be promoting the books that I have currently out and giving a few teasers for the ones that are coming that weekend.
Oh, awesome. Okay. And can you go ahead and give everybody the links where they can find you online and find your book?
So, sure. So I'm on Amazon. Just type in Jenna Green and then Imagine, and you'll find that book, and all the other ones are all linked there. Twitter at jgreenwrites, and then Facebook is pretty easy to find as well, Jenna Green on there, and Instagram at jgreenwrites is on there as well. And the website is www.jennagreen.ca. That's the only one that confuses people.
Okay, and that's Green with an E at the end, correct?
Yeah, like the color, but with an extra E.
Okay, awesome. Just want to make sure people don't look and they can't find you. But we want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure, and I've learned a lot. I have the book, and I'm going to be reading it tonight. I haven't had a chance because I've been so busy, but just hearing, you know, you describe how this world came about and Anita's enthusiasm, Carol loves it. I'll definitely be jumping on that as well. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great. Well, this
thank
is R.L. Jackson
me.
Saying, you're welcome. This is R.L. Jackson saying so long. For Carol P. Roman and Anita Dickerson, we'd like to thank our guest, Jenna Green, and our listeners. We hope you'll tune in for another Indie Author Roundtable, where we bring latest books and authors to the indie publishing table. Don't forget to catch the latest issue of Indie Authors Monthly, available on Magster.com. Again, ladies, I want to thank you so much for a great roundtable discussion. And until next time.